Father, we're so grateful, God, for your presence in this place today, God. Grateful for your spirit, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that today, Lord, just like the fragrance after the rain, God, that, Lord, we're refreshed. It's pleasant. It's clean. It's clear, God. And Father, we just thank you for what you're going to do today. As we open up your word, God, we pray that you open it up to us. In fact, open us up to receive it. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to have a good understanding. And may we be the good ground where the word is sown. May it produce fruit in each and every one of our individual lives. Truly today, Lord, we've not come to hear from a man or a woman, young or old, black, white, brown, tall, short, thin, wide, educated, uneducated, rich or poor. No, God, we've come to hear from you. So welcome, Holy Spirit. Be our teacher. Be our guide. Give us your vision, your wisdom, your instruction, your direction, even the correction where we've gotten off track. Please, Lord, get us back on track with you. Father, we'll give you the praise, give you the glory, give you the honor for it. God, don't just bless us. We ask that you bless all the churches here in the Inland Empire as well as around the planet that are preaching and hearing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we don't see of ourselves as any better than anybody else, but as co-laborers and workers together in your field, building your kingdom. So bless your church, God. Build your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Be with the Baptists, Lutherans, Methodists, Episcopalians, Charismatics, Pentecostals, Calvary Chapels, Assemblies of God, Foursquare, EV Free, Set Free, Victory Outreach, Catholic and Adventist, Messianic Jewish, Citizens in Sandals, The Way, Trinity, Emmanuel Baptist. God, we would bless Patria and Harvest, God, Oak Valley. Lord, all the great churches that are out there, C3 and Elevate Life, God, too many to name by name, but God, you know them all by name. And we ask that you bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. And Father God, we pray that you would just be in the midst of your church this day. Father, preparing your bride for your return, God. I thank you, Lord, that you're coming soon, God. And so we're getting ready. Father, we do pray for the persecuted church that you strengthen them, encourage them, deliver them, may they endure to the end to the glory of God. Never give up, never renounce your name, but Father God, may they be strong in spirit, and may they testify of your goodness to even their persecutors and their captors. God, that there may be a witness on the earth of your name and your truth. And Lord, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We bless Israel. It's in Jesus' mighty name we're all in agreement. We say, amen, amen, amen. As you're having a seat, get your Bibles and go with me to Romans, the third chapter. We've been in a series, and some of you guys know the name of the series. Now, I had you do your angry face, then I had you do your concerned face. This time, I want you to get out your confused face, all right? A little confused. I don't really know about this, so get your confused face on. I want you to look at your neighbor, and in the most confused face and voice you can say, could you just say, what's the big idea? All right? What's the big idea? Just ask your neighbor, what's the big idea, all right? This is part number three of what's the big idea. We've already found some big ideas from the Word of God in Romans, the third chapter, reading from verse number 21 through verse number 26. Let's refresh on what those verses say. It says this in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. You remember we said that the law, capital L, is speaking of the Mosaic law that witnessed the righteousness of God. It couldn't bring us the righteousness of God. It could only show us where we were off. But now there is a righteousness apart from the law, meaning our moral code, the law of what is right and wrong outside of us, that's witnessed by the law, what Moses gave us, and the prophets. It goes on in verse 22 and says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. There is no difference. Verse 22, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Remember, we said this, that we all fall short. All of us have broken and violated our conscience, the law that's within us, as well as the law of God. And it says this, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Verse 26, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, as we read that, we may not really understand that. We might be able to comprehend at a basic level what's going on, but really we don't use those words that often. You know, even righteous, most of the time when you hear somebody say righteous, they're saying righteous, right? They're not saying like use it in a sentence or anything like that. And even the word justification, we have a certain understanding of that word, justification. And when we look at that, we say, well, you know, there is a justification for this or a justification for that. Or, you know what, I felt justified when I punched him in the mouth because they were mouthing off to me. And so I felt really justified in that. It was right for me to do that. How dare they? How could they? It was justified. Yet God uses language different than we use it. And he doesn't want us just to grace over this and kind of pass over this and, oh, okay, well, that's all good. God did something there. I really don't know. No, God contains this in Scripture for thousands of years, not for us just to know about it, to understand it, and to walk in it. What does that mean? To live it out in our lives. God wants you to live a life that is righteous, that is just. And so we learned some things already. What's the big idea? The first thing we learned is that we are sinful and need a Savior. Right off the bat, we need to understand that there's no one perfect. No one can do this on their own, that we need God. All right, six of you need God. The rest of us are liars. Come on, let's try that again. We need God. Amen, amen, amen. We need him. We need God. We're all sinful and need a Savior. But the second thing we learned last time we were together is, well, we can become righteous through faith. And remember, we talked about righteousness. That is the condition or the state of being right with God, that you can have a good standing, that you can be in the right place with God. And from that position comes your practice. What you do should proceed from who you are. Now, today there's another big idea, and we've already kind of teased it a little bit with this word justification, because there is this word being justified freely by his grace. And here's the big idea that I want to point out. Number three for us today is this, is that by God's ability, we are no longer guilty. It's by God's ability. It's not by your ability. There's nothing you could do to clean up your life. It's only by God's ability that we can become clean, that we can become free, and that now we are no longer guilty. And yet, when I look at the lives of many Christians, I see that people are carrying around a weight of guilt. They're carrying around the weight of their sins, their past, what they've done. They're ashamed. I don't want to talk about it. I was so bad. I can't believe that the Lord would love someone like me. And yet, that's not the type of life God wants us to live, because he has now cleared us of that guilt by his power. The Bible says by his grace. That means that we're not meant to carry that weight of guilt any longer. Doesn't matter who you were in your past. Listen, that's not you any longer. And so now God says, my ability, I've made you no longer guilty. You don't have to carry that. Now, that doesn't mean that if you sin, that you don't feel bad. I hope you feel bad. Pastor, you're mean. No, I'm not. Here's the reason why. Because if you didn't feel bad, you'd keep doing it. Hello? But the Bible says godly sorrow leads to repentance, which leads to everlasting life. So it's a good thing when you feel bad about sin, because that means you're going to go, I don't like this, and you turn from your way, and you turn to God's way, you repent, you confess it, you clean up under the blood of Jesus, and you move on, and you move past it, and you grow up, and you grow mature. That's why it's good that you feel bad, because that would never happen if you just said, well, this is pleasant, this is nice, God must be okay with this. He's not. And therefore, that godly sorrow brings about repentance. So we're not talking about that, but we are talking about our sin, the weight of our sin. Listen, Jesus took that upon himself, and now by God's ability, we are no longer guilty. Let me put it to you like this. When we believe, we are declared righteous. At the moment of faith, when faith reaches out and says, I believe the message that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sin on the cross, and now he offers me eternal life, I receive that life. Now, what happens? God looks at you and says, not guilty. God says, righteous. Let me put it like this. You used to be wrong, but the moment you have faith, God says, right. That's what God declares over your life. You are now righteous. Why? Because of a declaration that God made over your life when you believed. See, that's what justified means. It means that you are proved not guilty. Think about this. If you had committed a crime and they went to court, right, and they proved it, they had all the evidence, right, and they declared you're guilty. Now, even though you're guilty, someone could say, well, hey, I forgive you. You wronged me, but I forgive you. Now, even though you're forgiven, you're still guilty. Hello? How about this? We've seen this with two presidents now in the past couple of weeks. We've seen this, that there were some guilty people, but they said, you're pardoned. So you can be pardoned, but still be guilty. But something happens when God makes a declaration of your life that you are righteous. What is God saying? Even though you did it, God says, not guilty. Wonder of wonders, the Apostle Paul in two verses makes this very clear. He contrasts it in his language. Notice verse number 23, once again, Romans chapter 3, verse number 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know what he just said right there? Guilty. But then he does something. In the very next breath, and notice there's chapter and verse, right? We've got these verses, it's the next verse, but really it's the same sentence. In the same breath, he just said guilty, but then verse 24, he said being justified freely by his grace. What did he say? Not guilty. Wait a second, Paul. Which one is it? Guilty or not guilty? Well, if God made a declaration of not guilty, God is the just judge. Therefore, the declaration sticks. It's not guilty. Then how does this work? How can this be? Well, it's a beautiful word called grace. Grace makes justification happen through faith. The other grace is the power that makes this happen through the avenue of faith. You see, grace is the hand that reached out and got a hold of our life and pulled us through the pit, the tunnel of faith. When you believed, that grace reached out and grabbed you and pulled you up and pulled you out and declared not guilty. See, grace has often been defined as unmerited favor. That's what oftentimes, if you look up the word grace, you'll find that it says unmerited favor. Now, many times we've moved on from this definition here at The Rock, but I want to just pause on this definition and camp out for a second, because I believe that in the terms of what we're talking about, it's actually a really good definition. But you know, really, we don't use terms like unmerited, do we? You know, when my wife used to bring home stuff for the kids and they didn't do anything to deserve it, I'd say, oh, honey, that is such unmerited favor that you brought the kids candy today. Never said that. I said, girl, we're going to be having some high dentist bills if you keep that up. You know, that was a different thing. But I never said, oh, that's unmerited. No, never. Never. So what does it mean? Well, we know what merit is, right? You get a merit increase. What happened? You did good work, and so they gave you a bonus, or they gave you an increase on the job, something like that, right? Maybe it was a merit promotion. And so therefore, because you did good work, they saw leadership, they saw you had the skills to pay the bills, and so they said, hey, you can be a manager now based on merit. What does that mean? It means you did good deeds, and therefore you deserved a raise. You deserved a bonus. You deserved to be elevated in that company. So when we say unmerited, we understand that you didn't deserve it. It was undeserved favor of God, where God blesses you with something. God does something for you. God's ability comes into play in your life, but you didn't do anything to deserve it. It's unmerited favor. See, I think that's a good word, because we couldn't do anything for God to declare us righteous. God had to do everything for us. And then when we believe by faith, God makes that declaration over our life. But we couldn't pull God's arm behind his back. There's no man that could give to God that he should repay. And God would say, well, okay, you're righteous. Because you did that, righteous. No, he doesn't do that. Why? Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We were guilty, but because of God's grace, God declares us not guilty. You understand? Let's move forward into our definition that we have here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If you know it, you're welcome to say it along with me. Grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. I heard a couple of people saying it, but maybe you know it, but you didn't say it with me. Why don't you try it out, all right? Let's use our lungs. Let's use our language. All right, here we go. Grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. You can't save yourself. You couldn't earn the favor of God. You could not earn salvation. You could not earn a not guilty. You could not earn justification. No, it had to be God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done of salvation and justification on your behalf when you can't do it. That's what grace does. It's only by God's power that we can be made right through faith. I heard this story. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's fun to think that it's true. Of a man who bought a Rolls Royce in England back in the day. Beautiful car. He was waiting. Started earning enough money. He's very wealthy. And so he purchased a Rolls Royce. Decided he's going to take it over the channel, drive it around Europe. So he takes it on a boat, crosses the channel, starts to drive through France, Belgium, Germany, Switzerland, up into the Alps, comes down the other side into Italy. And when he hits Italy, all of a sudden the car breaks down, making weird noises and smoke coming out. And he thinks, oh no, pulls over to the side of the road. What am I gonna do? So he goes and he finds a local shop and he asks if he can use the phone. And so he dials England and he says, can you connect me to Rolls Royce? And so they connect him. And so he says, hey, I have a problem. My car broke down on the side of the road. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to work on cars. And they said, sir, where are you? Let him know his location. They said, just stay there. Said, okay. So he goes back to the car. Hours later, a guy shows up, mechanic, Rolls Royce mechanic. He's got his tools in hand. They flew him over from England the same day. rushed over there. Tools, bag, parts, all that kind of stuff. He says, can I have the keys? He says, yeah, I give him the keys. He goes to work. Guy goes and gets under the hood, starts tinkering around, fixing things, pulling parts, making things happen. Next thing you know, the guy's washing the car, cleaning the car, making sure it's sparkling clean, shining up the rims, making sure they're looking good, goes inside, does all the leather, polishes all the wood, makes sure everything's beautiful. Comes out a little while later, hands the man the keys, and he says, there is nothing wrong with your car. It's in perfect working order. The man says, thank you so much. The guy gathers up his tools and his bags and everything and leaves, flies back to England. Now, the man is sitting there watching this whole thing, and he thinks to himself, what is this going to cost me? They just flew a mechanic all the way from England to fix this car. How much does that cost? Plane tickets? This guy's time? What does a Rolls-Royce mechanic make? The parts? I mean, the car itself was expensive. What do the parts cost? This is going to cost me an arm and a leg. And so he's dreading it. But he thinks, well, whatever. I love the car. I wanted it. I bought it. I used it. It broke. That's okay. I'll just bite the bullet and pay whatever they tell me to pay. So he finally finishes his trip, concludes it, crosses the channel again, comes home. And he's expecting there to be a bill waiting for him when he gets home. But when he starts to search through the mail, he finds other bills. But he doesn't find the bill from Rolls-Royce. So he thinks, oh, they're probably just behind. You know, they probably don't have a big billing department. I mean, they're very, niche kind of customer and not a lot of people. So they probably don't have a big billing department, you know. And so I'll just wait. Waits. Months go by. Nothing. Finally, he gets frustrated. He's like, I don't know what's going on here. So he calls Rolls-Royce. He says, hello, sir. Yes. Hi. I wanted to let you guys know that I'm looking for my bill. I haven't found it. Maybe got lost in the mail or something like that. I just want to know how much I owe you guys. And they said, I'm sorry, who are you? States his name. He said, okay, and you purchased a vehicle? Yeah, I purchased a vehicle on this date. Okay, and what do you want a bill for? He says, well, you know, my car broke down in Italy, and you guys flew a mechanic over, and he had parts, and he fixed the car and put parts in and his time and, you know, he cleaned the car. I'm sure all of his time cost a lot of money and the tickets and the parts and everything. So I just want to pay whatever I owe you. And they said, hold, please. Put him on hold. So he's sitting there waiting. A moment later, the person on the other side of the line comes back and they said, sir, we're so sorry, but we have no record of any Rolls-Royce breaking down at any time, in any place, for any reason. Thank you. Have a nice day. Click, and they hung up the phone. Maybe you thought, God, my life broke down. God, would you come and save me? God, would you come and redeem me and restore me? God, would you make me new? And God sent his son down to save your life. Maybe God got a hold of your life. He cleaned you up. He fixed those things inside of you. God spent time washing you and making you brand new. And you said, God, I've got this weight of sin on me. And God says, I'm sorry. I have no record of your sin any time, any place, and for any reason. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's what justification is. God has looked at your life and declared not guilty. You're righteous before the Father. I was looking this Romans chapter 3, 24 and 26 up in different translations. I want to just read you quickly from the New Living Translation and from the Passion Translation. NLT, Romans 3, 24a says this, yet God with undeserved kindness. Everybody say undeserved. Undeserved kindness declares that we are righteous. You're right. Verse 26b in the NLT says, God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just. He's right. And he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Romans 3:24a in the Passion Translation says, yet through his powerful declaration of acquittal. Do we have any attorneys in the place today? Any attorneys in the building? Acquittal. What are they saying? They're saying, you're not guilty. You've been acquitted now. You are set free. Through his powerful declaration of acquittal, God freely gives away his righteousness. Romans 3:26b in the Passion Translation. So now, because we stand on the faithfulness of Jesus, God declares us righteous in his eyes. See, God's declaration removes us from the crime scene. God's declaration, when he declares you righteous, what does he do? He removes you from the crime scene. It's an amazing thought. Any of you guys like those CSI shows, Law and Order, all that kind of stuff, right? Crime scene stuff. Some of you guys are crazy watching that stuff. I had to stop watching. I was just, ugh, you know? We live in San Bernardino. I don't need to be thinking about crime, okay? But you know, those shows, sometimes you see them and they're doing investigations. They've got a police line, do not cross. You think about a crime scene for a second, police line, right? They've got people over there taking pictures. They're looking for evidence, right? Every blade of grass that's folded over, they might have stepped here. Looking for footprints. They're looking for fingerprints, right? Oh, look at the window. It's got dust that's been moved. And they're dusting for fingerprints, looking on the windows and all that kind of stuff. Is there a point of entry? They're looking for a murder weapon. They're looking for DNA, right? Evidence, is there a hair on the ground? Whose hair is on the ground? Is it the dog? Is it the human, right? Who is this? They're looking for evidence. They're looking for blood. They're looking for any sort of thing that they can find that shows. They're looking for fibers. Maybe it's from a coat or from a carpet. They're looking for everything that they can find to find evidence. Why? Because they're going to take that to a court of law and they're going to prove the guilt of the individual that they're pointing out in that moment. See, you may have your fingerprints before Christ all over the world. You might have these murder weapons, hatred and bitterness and anger and rage. There might be some DNA evidence being left around, right? We won't even get into some of the thoughts that could take up, all right? Just clean your minds right now. Let's go for God. But there might be things that you left behind there in the world. Things that you could say, oh man, all of sin and fall short of the glory of God. I'm guilty, man. My fingerprints are all over it. You can see the forced entry. You can see the bitterness. You can see the rage. You can see the malice. You can see the anger. You can see the greed. You can see the lust. You can see the uncontrolled desire. You can see it all right there. And yet, when you said yes to Jesus, when you believed on the Lord in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, God said you're right. What happened? He removed you from the crime scene. Now, when they look at the fingerprints and they look at your fingerprints, they say they're not the same. They're different now. When they start to test the DNA, it's no longer your DNA. Now there's a different DNA. You say, well, how does that work? Here's the reason why. Because God didn't take a bad person and make them good. God took a dead person and he brought them to resurrection, new life. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That means there's never been anything like you on the planet before. You are brand new in spirit. Those are not your fingerprints. Those are not your footprints. That's not your DNA. No, you have a new spiritual DNA. God has made you, recreated you. You are new in Christ. That's not you anymore. You've been removed from the crime scene. You're a new creation in Christ. I was in Scotland as a 16-year-old. I was on a mission trip, and I'll never forget this because we went to a place called Dundee, Scotland. Beautiful place, beautiful city. Absolutely loved it. Cobblestone streets, that sort of a thing. We went to a church, and we linked up with this church and missions, and we did programs for youth and different things, put on a production while we were there. It was great. Witnessed to people. I remember attending a church service there one night. And while we were attending the church service, this lady was up there singing a song. Now, it wasn't like our songs, you know what I mean, where they're flowing and like drums and bass guitar. It was a piano, not even an organ, you know what I mean? Like, I would have preferred the organ. They had a piano, and they were just chunking out chords. Dunk, 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 you know? And this lady, I'm talking old school, big old ball microphone with the cord coming off of it. This lady, she's belting it out. I'm talking like going for it, you know what I mean? Head back, mouth open, sweating, just singing her heart out. And she's singing this old hymn. And I will never forget the words of the hymn because her shrill, high voice belting this out, she sang like that. Do you mind if I sing it to you? Is that okay? I'll sing it the way she sang it. Is that okay? You're never going to get this ever again in the rest of your life. Here we go. The words of the song went like this. She sang it. She sang, justified, unjustified is just as if I'd never sinned. Never forgot that. It's been 30 years. Never forgot that. In fact, all I had to do to make my other missions teammates laugh was I just look at them and I go, justified, unjustified. And man, they're rolling on the floor laughing, just having a good time. Never forgot it. You're never going to get it either. Why? Because think about the words of the song, justified, I'm justified. It's just as if I'd never sinned. God has removed me from the crime scene. First Corinthians, turn there with me, past Romans, you'll find First Corinthians chapter number 6. First Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 9 through verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9 through verse number 11, reading from the New King James Version, says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Notice he says the unrighteous. What is he saying? The people who are not right with God. They're not going to inherit the kingdom. They haven't been declared righteous. They're not right. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. And then he lists them. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves. Now, lest you be thinking, well, I haven't done any of that stuff. Nor covetous. You ever had a greedy desire in your heart for something? Christmas time rolls around, or a call rolls by, or you're scrolling online and you see something that you want, and that becomes your greedy, lustful desire. Nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers. That deals with the words of our mouth. Nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, look at this. And such were some of you. I love the fact that he uses a word in there that's past tense. What's the word? Were. Such were some of you. That means you were, but you're not anymore. Such were some of you, but you were what? Washed. If I wanted to get rid of some fingerprints, how would I do that? I'd wash it. Let's get rid of the evidence. If there was DNA evidence, what would I do? Psh, psh, psh. I'd wash it. See, such were some of you. You were sinners. There was evidence all around, but you were washed, but you were sanctified. What is that word? That means you were set apart for God's holy purposes. See, the moment you get saved, when you believe, my goodness, you stand righteous. You're justified. You're right before God. But anybody found out that you sinned after you got saved? Am I the only one willing to raise their hand? Come on, I'll raise everything, right? We've all done it, right? Well, what does that mean? That means that, hey, that flesh is still trying to rise up, but I've got to go through a process of sanctification. What is that? Me cleaning up my act. God's cleansed me, and now that cleansing has to work its way into my life. That's the process of sanctification, where I stop the things that I was doing before and I follow God. There were things that when I got saved at age 15, God cleaned up my language immediately. Immediately. It wasn't until I met the Cobras that I started cussing again. And I tell you, I'm just kidding. But in many ways, it's true. But here's the deal. When I got saved, I mean, 15 years old, I was out there doing what 15-year-olds do, cussing, you know, just going crazy. And whatever I wanted to say, I'd say it. But the moment I gave my heart to the Lord, my language cleaned up. I didn't cuss anymore. It just happened. I was completely delivered that immediately. But there were other things. My thought life, right? Pride, arrogance, all those things. Still dealing with those things. Still going through the process of sanctification and cleaning up my life. See, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were set apart, you had that position, but now you got to work with the practice. And look at this last one. But you were what? Justified. It's just as if I'd never sinned. You were declared righteous. Why? Because God washed you and he set you apart. And now you're declared righteous in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You couldn't do anything. God had to do it on your behalf. Are you listening today? Amen. Which brings me to the last thought for today, and that is this. Talking about sanctification and the process of cleaning up our lives. And simply, I need you to know that justified people live justified lives. Justified people live just lives. Because you've been declared righteous, you got to live right. That's only expected. Let me show this to you in James chapter 2, verse 20 through 24 in the New Living Translation, okay? This is the Apostle James' half-brother Jesus. He's writing, and he says this. He says, how foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Now, some of your translations, New King James will say faith without works is what? Dead, right? Now, we see works, and we immediately think about the works of the law. We say, well, okay, hold on. Is it faith or is it works? But he's not talking about that. He's saying that if you say you have faith and you don't do anything with it, do you really have faith? Because faith will produce life and action. So faith without that life and action is dead. So he says that's foolish to say you have faith, but I don't have any works with it. I just have faith. He says, can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Verse 21, don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was, look at this, shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Now listen, some of your translations will say Abraham was justified by his works. Again, we have a problem with that because we see the Apostle Paul saying that no flesh shall be justified by the works of the law. So then, if that's what the Apostle Paul says, but then James says that Abraham was justified by his works, are they at odds with one another? Should we choose a camp? Should we go with James or should we go with Paul? I'm team James. I'm team Paul. I like faith. No, I like works. I want to earn this. No. They're not at odds with one another at all. Because really what he's saying is what I believe the NLT got right. It says he was shown to be right with God. He was already right by faith, but now he's shown to be right with God. How? By his actions, when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. He didn't withhold anything from God. Verse 22, you see his faith and his actions, look at this, worked together. His actions made his faith complete. Some of your translations might say perfect. See, when you believe God, when you believe in Jesus and God says you are right, you are justified, not guilty, what the response should be is that now because of who I am, this is going to be what I do. Because I'm justified, I'm going to live a just life. And your actions will make your faith complete, just like Abraham. Verse 23, and so it happened just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. Right there we see the just shall live by faith, not by works of the law, not by earning it ourselves. No, we simply believe God and God gives us a credit and says, hey, that's righteousness. You are declared righteous at that moment. But because of that, it should produce works. Verse 24, so you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. It will be seen in your life that you are justified and that you're not guilty by living a just life. Pastor Jim Cobray, our founder, who's gone on to be with the Lord this past year, he used to tell a story. He told the story of when he was pastoring up in the mountains. He had a church called Lake Arrowhead Christian Fellowship, LACF. Pastored that church for a number of years, and while they were up there, a young man came and got saved. Afterwards, he asked him, he said, Pastor, can I have a meeting with you? And he said, yeah, absolutely, you can meet with me. And so they sat down, they met together. And this young man's name was Kevin. Kevin had gotten in trouble with the law. And so he said, Pastor, I'm in trouble. I've got warrants out for my arrest. What do I do? I mean, I gave my heart to the Lord. I want to do the right thing. So tell me. They don't know where I'm at, and I can keep running from the law, but I need to know what your counsel is. And Pastor Jim told him, hey, listen, you got to turn yourself in. Even though you're new, even though you've given your heart to Jesus, there's still going to be things that you're going to have to go through as a Christian. And there's consequences to our actions. And so it'd be better for you to just trust God, turn yourself in, deal with the consequences. You may have to go to jail. You may have to pay fines. You may have to do whatever you need to do to go through that process. But it'll be better for you if you do it God's way and just trust him. God will keep you through that time. No matter where you go, no matter what ends up happening, God's going to take care of you. So he goes and he turns himself into the police. Police take him back to where the warrant is from, down in Vista, California, by San Diego. And so the sister of Kevin calls Pastor Jim and Deborah and says, hey, they've got Kevin. What do? They've got him down in Vista, California. Can we scrape up some money and pay his bail and get him out? And they said, yeah, absolutely. So they went to the church, raised some money, went down to Vista, 2-hour drive from the mountains down there, and went and they paid the bail, bailed Kevin out. Now, the terms of the bail was that Kevin could be bailed out, but he had to show up to his court appearance. Otherwise, they would lose the bail money. So here comes the day of the hearing. Kevin's nowhere to be found. He skips town. Pastor Jim and Deborah are devastated. They had believed God for this. They had, you know, went to their church and raised money. And now they had to go back to their church and say, we're so sorry. This happened, and we don't know what to tell you, but we're going to be wiser in the future with finances and that sort of a thing. We apologize for what took place. Had to talk to the church about it because now the funds were not being used and they're not getting them back. Years go by. Pastor Jim and Deborah turn the church over to their associate up there in the mountains. They come down the mountains, and in 1988, with 12 people and a box of Kleenex, which we still have the Kleenex in our seats, they start the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, Rock Christian Center at the time. Years go by. They get a letter in the mail. It's a letter from Kevin. Kevin says, I just want to thank you for ministering to me. I want to thank you for teaching me to do the right thing. Because I was saved, I'm so sorry that I skipped town and I didn't show up for my bail hearing, but I made things right, went and did what I needed to do, took care of those issues. Now, I'm married, I have two beautiful children, and I'm living in Lapland. I had to look this up. I didn't know where it was. Pastor Deborah told me this story, and I'm like, Lapland, what is that? Found out it's Finland. It's the place where they celebrate Santa Claus. I mean, they've got pictures online. If you look it up, they've got people in sleighs. There's snow everywhere. Sometimes the sun doesn't set. Sometimes it's only set. It's crazy. Lady in the first service came up and said, Finland's a great place. I'm from Finland. I'm like, I can't stand the cold. I don't know how you do it. But thank God for you. But he's ministering as a missionary in Finland. Why? Because the seed of God was on the inside of him. And because he was justified, because he was declared not guilty, he couldn't stay in sin. He couldn't live an unjust life. It bugged him to the point where he said, listen, I've been washed. I've been sanctified. I've been justified. I've got to take care of this issue. And he took care of it. And guess what God did? God showed up, moved in his life, blessed him, and gave him a ministry. All because justified people live just lives. And Kevin was living a just life. See, when you've been justified, you can no longer live unjustly. You can't stay in your sin. You can't stay in the wrong things. See, by God's ability, you no longer live the guilty life. You are declared righteous. You're right with God. You're removed from the crime scene, and now you can live a just life because you have been justified. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? No one getting up, no one leaving during this time. Let's just take a moment in the presence of God. Just ask you, the Holy Spirit, say, God, what are you speaking to me? And then listen for his voice. Just let God speak to you in this moment. God, what are you speaking to me? As the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, maybe he's giving you a scripture, a word, a phrase, maybe even a process or a plan. Write it down. You don't want to forget what God spoke to you. Take a note on your phone if you need to. If you don't have anything to write, share it with a faithful friend, maybe your spouse that's with you. God just spoke this to me. Would you remind me of this? It brings accountability, but it also brings agreement. There's power when we agree together as touching anything on the earth. For those of you that have given your heart to the Lord, you're a Christian and you know it, your heart of hearts, you've surrendered everything to God, but you've been carrying that guilt. I need you to hear by the Spirit of God today, God's declaration over you. He spoke this the moment you believed, but you need to feel the weight lifted in this statement. God declared you righteous. God declares you not guilty. Some of you, as Christians, have been living an unjust life. The Bible says, let him who steals steal no longer. The Bible says to put away lying. The Bible says to put off the old man with its corruption and to put on the new man. You might need to take care of some business with God. Might need to work that process of sanctification. You've been sanctified, but you need to work that process with God. Allow him to clean up your life from the inside out. Who you are should determine what you do. Some of you need to get rid of pornography. Stop it. Get off the websites. Block the way back to it. If you need to get rid of your smartphone for a dumb phone, if that's what it is, or if you need to get off of video games, or stop ordering the magazines or whatever it is. Whatever those open doors are, you need to close those doors. Some of you guys need to stop going to the bar. It's dragging you down. You know it. There might be relationships that need to be cut off. Phone numbers you need to delete out of your contacts. Some of you business people need to pay your taxes. Quit trying to cheat the government. I don't care if you disagree with them or not. Jesus paid taxes to a corrupt government. Peter said to pray for the king. That was Nero at the time. He was crazy, killing Christians. It's time to put away the unjust life and live a just life, righteous before God. Put away the murder in your heart, the hate that you have against your brother. Forgive. Whatever God says is right. It might be fornication. You're having premarital sex. Either get married or get out. It's time to draw a line. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know you desire to see God move in your life, to see him working, to see him show up, to see him move, to see him do the miracles. You have to be sanctified, holy, set apart. It's time to make a decision. It's time to make a change. You can do that today. If you need to go home and get rid of chakras, crystals, New Age books, things that are introducing ideas and philosophies that do not line up with the Word of God, you need to do that today. Don't wait. Get it out of your life. I don't care if it's your grandfather's lucky penny. If you're relying on something other than God, get it out of your life. It's not bringing you luck. God is not superstitious. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Word of God that you brought to us today. Thank you, God, that you've declared us righteous, not guilty. Lord, we're going to live in that freedom. But Lord, it's not freedom to sin, God. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the power to live a just life. Just like we heard the testimony of Kevin, God, thank you for his life. Thank you for his testimony that he went through and did what he needed to do, that you used him mightily on the earth. God, use us. Help us, Lord. Give us your grace, your ability, God, to get the job done on our behalf where we couldn't do it. Father, I thank you for victory in the life of your people. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody agree with that prayer said. Amen and amen. As Pastor Antonio comes, no one get up, no one leave during this time. Pastor Antonio.
Come on, wasn't that such a good word? Thank you, Pastor Dan. Hey, do we have any justified saints in the house this morning? Pastor Dan, you ain't lying. I know I will never forget that. Justified, just justified. Come on, one more time. Just as if I never sinned. We'll remember that one. Come on. Well, you maybe want to forget my version, but that's okay. Hey, we're going to continue in our worship this morning. Come on now, can we give an offering of praise, of gratitude for the Word of God? I know we come and we sit in service and, well, that the pastor's supposed to preach at me. No, that's it, that we're grateful. Come on, shouldn't it lands in a good heart, ready to receive, to walk out and live in this place justly. Amen. Hey, we've worshiped in song. We've worshiped by getting into the Word. We're going to worship by giving to the Lord this morning. Come on, any cheerful givers in God's house? We get to participate in generosity. So as we're preparing our hearts, I want to pay our attention to the screens. Again, because of generosity, because of obedience, we get to sow not just into the local church here, but into the kingdom of God, into the church around the globe. Pay attention to the screens.
From hot and sunny Florida to rainy and cold Europe, Kasevich's dynamic duo embarks on a mission trip traversing the ocean by plane and countries by train. Germany, which we visited this time, has accepted the largest number of Ukrainian refugees, totaling over 1 million people. Meetings, conversations, and stories how Ukrainians assimilated and even opened here ministries in their native language. Not forgetting to enjoy local culture, food, and cathedrals, we keep our focus on strengthening pastors, equipping churches, and planning the restoration of Ukrainian church after the war.
I am on this.
Oh my Nikita.
Oh my, we were singing for a song. Oh my God.
Hello, Rock Church. This is Zhenya and Vera Kasevich. We are here with the group of Ukrainians in Hamburg in Germany.
Yay! Come on, guys. Yay!
Hey, we are talking about Ukraine, the future of Ukraine. the rebuilding process of the church in Ukraine when the war is over. So it's a lovely conversation, and we just wanted to say hi and thank you for your support, Rock Church. We love you. Stay blessed.
Hey, let's make this declaration while you're seated. Yeah, praise God. We're going to make a declaration over the missions across the globe here together. Here we go. One, two, three. I give to build the kingdom of God. We are a local church with a global heart and desire to see people saved here in the Inland Empire as well as all over the world. We declare open doors into nations, resources, wisdom and grace for missionaries, churches and people best both physically and spiritually, and open hearts to receive the gospel. Amen. Come on now. So cool to see. You know, we know that Ukraine has been in a tough time, but the cool thing is when hell tries to come on the earth, don't you know the kingdom of heaven can rain down, and it happens through the local church. And our generosity and our giving, we get to participate and be a part of something amazing, a move of God across the globe. Amen. Hey, the ways that you can give today are on the screen right behind me. Maybe you want to zoom in on that QR code, a text to give, or tap those seat backs in front of you to set up your gifts, your giving, your generosity. Hey, the reason why the Bible is calling us to be cheerful givers, I would venture to say we can be cheerful because we know that we are not our provider. Who is our provider? God is our provider, and we know this because the promises of His word say so. So prepare your hearts. Maybe you want to give by cash or check. Ushers at this time, if you could stand up. Raise your hand on up again if you want to give by cash or check and get that tax-deductible receipt. The ushers will get that to you. Otherwise, I'm going to pray over our offering. Heavenly Father, we come before You today, Jesus. And we thank You, Lord God, that You are our provider. And we thank You, Jesus, that we give with cheerful hearts. We give not from lack or abundance, but we give knowing, Jesus, that You will supply all of our needs according to Your riches and glory, Father God. So we give in faith and obedience, Jesus, and we are grateful to build Your house. Continue to do so through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Wow, just a couple announcements before we continue on with the service. Again, we want to encourage you to stay seated just for a few more moments. This is what we got going on. Come on, isn't there always something going on at your church? The Pastor's Refreshing, as well as Loving My City, are coming up, and we need some volunteers for the Pastor's Refreshing. So to sign up for that or the Loving My City, you can go in on the QR code for that. And man, we just have such a great time. Women Rock PM, any ladies in the house? Come on, ladies in the house, Women Rock PM, save the date, Friday, March 7th, right here in the main sanctuary, so don't miss out on that. And then Rock Internship. For those of you who are 18 to 26, we are hosting an interest meeting on February 15th in the Youth Auditorium at noon. So come and find out about this internship and a new program that we have that can get you some university units at Life Pacific University so you can earn your degree while doing internship, and that's going to be an amazing thing. So mark those dates if you're interested. The internship is an amazing thing to see and come be a part of what God is doing here at the local church. That's it for that. Hey, real quick, you know, questions you might have from the message today. We've been doing a great job having some great conversations in the podcast. I have a good time. It's great. I get to be a part of that podcast with Pastor Dan. So check that out. I got to throw that one in there, Pastor Dan, because we took out one of the other announcements. So, hey, we love you guys. Pay attention to the screens, and Pastor Dan will be right back with us.
Hi, Church. Pastor Paul here. I've always said that every Christian should participate at some point in a short-term mission because it changes your worldview of the gospel in other places. And this year, our church is able to participate with our partners in the mission field in three amazing countries, Thailand, Vietnam, and Mexico. So I'm inviting you to join us at Rock Missions this year. Here's what you can do. Pray, participate, and get all the information right there on the screen. The last day to sign up is February 2nd. I want to see you in the nations.
Amen, amen. Hey, I took this picture. Isn't that beautiful? I always think about God's promises when I see the rainbow. That's the only thing that the rainbow means, is God's promises, because He put it in the cloud to remind us of His covenant that He would never again flood the earth. There is coming a day when the earth and all the elements will be burned with fire. The Bible says fervent heat, the sound of a trumpet. The heavens will be rolled up like a scroll. It's going to be an amazing time. In a moment. The Bible tells us that there will be a great white throne where the king sits. And he separates the sheep from the goats to his right and to his left. And those on his right, those that are his, he'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of the Lord." But those on his left, he'll say, "Away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Now, they're going to have a plea. They're going to say, "Wait a second, God. Didn't we do many miracles in your name? Didn't we prophesy in your name?" See, these were people that had been in church. People who knew the word of God. People who did good deeds. They thought they were going to make it. And yet he says to that group of people, "Away from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." There was something wrong in their lives. Something that was off. But the ones on his right were right. There's something right in their lives. What makes the difference? If it's not church attendance, if it's not being raised as a Christian, if it's not doing good deeds, if it's not memorizing a scripture or wearing a cross, if it's not getting involved in a church, what makes the difference? Here's what makes the difference. You heard it in the message today. Faith and what God did on your behalf. See, either your sin is resting on you or it's resting on him. And if you're still carrying your sin, if you have not yet surrendered to Jesus all of your heart and all of your life, then you're still dead in your sin, separated from God. That's what death is, separation. See, if you die, the real you on the inside of you lives on. You're an eternal being. Death is not ceasing to exist. Death is separation. Your spirit is separated from your body. This is just a tent. This is just an earth suit. That's all it is. That we live in for a period of time, but eternally we'll live as spirits. The Bible says that in hell, that the burning never goes out and the worm never dies. What does that mean? It's a place of eternal torment. An eternal separation from God. But heaven, we're going to get a new body. And so we will be with the Lord forever. It's a place of eternal life. Life is connection with God. That's what you want. But there are those of you in this place that you've been relying on the wrong things to get into heaven. You thought because you've been attending church enough, because you've been nice enough, smart enough, pretty enough, because you've done enough good deeds, that you've earned it enough, because you've memorized enough scriptures, or because you've gotten involved enough in church or social justice causes, yet you cannot earn your way into heaven. It's a free gift that's only received. You believe in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on your behalf and you receive it. The Bible says that if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Today, I want to lead you in a simple confession of your faith to surrender your heart and life to Jesus. You can be born again. What does that mean? Made brand new, brought from death to life, like we talked about in the message. Made righteous by the declaration of God, not guilty. It happens when you say, "Yeah, I believe in what Jesus did on my behalf, and I surrender my life to him." Now, it's not just praying a prayer. It's not just empty words. Sometimes you say, "I prayed that prayer." Well, did you follow it up with all of your heart and life? Because if not, God listens to the words of your mouth, then he watches your life to see if it follows. And if not, God is no fool. He knows those who are his. Remember, there was a group of people that said, "Wait a second, we were in church. We did the right thing. We said the right thing." And he says, "Get away." Obviously, it wasn't just religious activity, reciting a prayer. No, there was something deeper where there was a surrender of all their heart and life. And now God came in and made them brand new because of their faith in what Jesus did for them. Today, there are those of you in this place, you need to give God all of your heart. You need to give God all of your life. You need to surrender everything. You could have been in church all your life. You could have prayed the prayer of salvation. But you know in your heart of hearts, "I'm not connected to God. I'm not right with God." Today, you can get right. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. 1, 2, 3. And I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang. If you want to pray that prayer, you want to surrender your heart and life to Jesus, I want to know who I'm praying with. I want you to just simply raise your hand. You know, raising your hand is the international symbol of surrender. What you're doing by raising your hand is you're saying, "I surrender to God. I want to give him all my heart and life." I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. You put it right back down. You say, "Wait a second. Time out. Pastor, if you point and count at me, I'm going to be embarrassed. I don't like to be embarrassed. I'm so sorry." Listen, get over it. Because isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment than it is to end up in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? No one make that trade. And yet the devil thinks you're a fool and he's trying to talk you out of it right now. Tell the devil to go to hell. You're not going with him. You're going on with God today. Get ready to get your hand up. Even if you are embarrassed, it's better than ending up in hell. You're not coming back as a dog or a frog working your way up to human. You got one life to live this life. The Bible says it's appointed for man once to die and then to the judgment. And Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. Today, it's your call. It's your choice. You can sit there and do nothing. You made a choice. Or how about this? Get right with God today. Who should raise your hand if you've been running from God and said to God, I'm speaking to you? Who should raise your hand if you're not sure about your salvation? Make sure. Who should raise your hand? You've never done this before. Never given God all of your heart and life. I'm speaking to you. You could have been in church all your life, but today you're going to cross that line. Give God all of your heart and life. I'm speaking to you. Or finally, who should raise your hand? If you're lukewarm, half-hearted, my goodness, God is saying you need to get wholehearted for God. Maybe you're backslidden. You need to come home. Come on, you can do that. There's three hands up already. Let's do it all together on the count of three. Here we go. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high for me right now. There's one. Thank you. There's two. God bless you. There's three right here. Yeah. God bless you. Three, four up there. Got you. Five. Got you. Two hands up. That's awesome. Six over here. Yes. Seven and eight right here. Nine. Got you. Ten over here. Yes. 11 right here. Yeah. Thank you. God bless you. 11 wise people. Who else that I did not see? If I saw you, you're welcome to put your hands down. But if I, hey, wonderful. 12. Good. Good. Good call. Anybody else real quick? Come on. Let's go for God. You know in your heart of hearts you need to get right with God. If that's you, let's get it up real high. Anybody else that I did not already see? If I don't see you, give me a little wave, me some movement sometimes. Help me. Anybody else real quick? Just want to make sure. Just want to make sure. All right, they're pointing over here. Wonderful. Okay, 12, 13, 14. Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Thank you for the help, guys. God bless you guys. Anybody else real quick? 14 wise people. Anybody else? Come on, number 15. You're sitting there wondering if you should do this. Absolutely. Most definitely. Yeah, you should. Come on, let's go for God today if that's you. Anybody else? Last call. Last call. We're going to wrap this up. Last call. Come on, number 15. Let's go for God today if that's you. Anybody else? All right, let's give the Lord a hand for about 14 wise people. Amen. Listen, the preacher went too long today because he was having too much fun. And so we'll beat them up after church service later. But right now, would you do me a favor? Would you stand to your feet? No one leave during this time. Let's let those come that need to give God all their heart and life. We're going to pray together right here at the altar. Come on. Just run to the altar. Get out of your seat. Get in the aisle and meet me up front right now. Come on. Let's give them a hand as they come, church. If you're next to somebody that raised their hand, say, come on, friend. I'll go with you and bring them. If you're next to somebody that didn't raise their hand, but you just want to know, hey, do you need to go? Ask them and then bring them. Come on. Come on. They're coming. Oh, come on, church. Let's give them a real hand. Let's encourage our new brothers and sisters. Come on. You need to come. Just come. Hallelujah. They're still coming. Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness. Anybody else? Come on. Come on. They're still coming. They're coming. You can come too from the family rooms, from the foyer. Come on down. Come on, they're still coming. Let's keep it going. The altar, the Father's arms are. Anybody else? Come on. Come on, right now. There's still room for you at the altar. Come on, this is your time. This is your moment. Come on down. Come on, they're coming. Come on, you can come too. Anybody else? Come on. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood. Amen. There's more than 15 up here. I just celebrate and rejoice with you guys. We're so glad that you came. I'm going to lead you in a prayer to invite Jesus in your heart and be born again. At this moment, as you put your faith in Jesus, God's going to look at your life and say, not guilty. He's going to say, righteous. Right. Wow. It's an amazing thing that takes place. You become brand new. You get a brand new start with a brand new heart. Let's pray together, even online. If you're joining us in this prayer, you're welcome to pray along in faith. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And everybody that's given your heart to the Lord and everybody else, let's join in with our new brothers and sisters. Say this. Say, Father God, I come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus. I give you all my heart and all my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin, cleanse me of my past, and give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he came and died for my sin and was raised again to life for my justification. Thank you, Jesus. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and lead me for the rest of my days. Because from now on, I am a Christian. I'm born again. I'm headed for heaven, denying hell. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now let's give the Lord a praise together. Hey guys, welcome to the family of God. We're so excited for your new life. Now listen, when I got saved, I was 15 years old, and I had a friend in church. Even though I was raised in church, I had a friend in church that just came along, saw me, pray with me, encouraged me, taught me some things out of the Bible to help me get strong in the ways of the Lord. I just followed God, and look at what God did. Man, God has done some amazing things. God wants to do great things in your life as well. And we want to help you with a friend. This is my friend, Pastor Joel, okay? Good guy, nothing weird's going to go on. He wants to take you right over there. Just give you some free stuff, free information, find out what just happened, what to do next. Introduce you to another friend we have called the Spiritual Personal Trainer, okay? It's a friend, okay? They'll describe what that looks like, how it works, okay? And after a couple minutes of your time, they'll let you go. Easy, free, and you need to do it, all right? Make a left turn, follow Pastor Joel right this way. Come on, let's give him a hand as they go. Come on, church, let's give the Lord a great big praise. Hallelujah! Online, if you prayed that prayer with us, right after we dismiss, there'll be some instructions for you as well. Hey, church family, did anybody enjoy being in the presence of God this morning? Now listen, if you like that, if you're really a Holy Spirit junkie, tonight, 6 p.m., like we said, we're going to have a night of Holy Spirit and of prophecy, and you need to come and be a part of what God is going to do here tonight, 6 p.m. Can I bless you as you go? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Let me bless you online. Let me bless you right now. Father, these are your people called by your name. They are blessed, blessed in the city, blessed in coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. And Father, with a great big shout about our area, we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
What a blessing it was here from God's word this afternoon. If there's anybody need a person to talk to, we have a person to pray with you, talk with you, believe in God for your prayer. Forget the Holy Spirit tonight.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs, we call them spiritual personal trainers, to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.